Chuck Knoll coached the Steelers for 23 years, and he retired at the age of 59. Bill Cowher coached the Pittsburgh Steelers for 15 years, and he retired at 49. Mike Tomlin coached the Steelers for 19 years, and he has, at least for now, retired at the age of 53. So all pretty similar, long runs, and their careers ended sometimes in their 50s. Cowher, 49, Tomlin, 53, and Knoll, 59. Mike McCarthy is 62. Mm-hmm. So Mike McCarthy is taking over a job at an older age, significantly older, much more so than for Cowher and Tomlin, significantly older than when they retired. He's taking over a job at a much older age, almost double the age of when those three guys were hired. And he's also taking over a job that has a track life or track record of 23 years, 15 years, and 19 years. And for him, the last 15 years, which is on the low end, he'd have to coach until he's 77. And that's the part, like for any other team, I get it. It's a great hire, but it is so different, Teak, from what the Steelers have done that's the thing I'm having a tough time understanding.
But I think this could be an understanding of a new era of our sport as it pertains to how coaches are hired and retained. Because we know this happens every 4 or 5 or so years. The league changes, right? What worked in Mike Tomlin's early years, at least offensively with Ben Roethlisberger, they wasn't working at the end of his tenure. And so maybe you start to say, as great as the consistency is to have a coach last for a decade and a half, there might be a need for new ideas after 5 to 8 years. Mm. And so I think this could just be a changing of philosophy from the Steelers. Obviously, the Rooney family is heavily respected and one of the storied franchises in the NFL. But that doesn't mean that they're beyond change. And so I think that might be what's happening here.
I mean, it is as extreme a change as you can describe. I mean, to go, first of all those guys had a defensive background. Mm-hmm. All those guys were in their mid-30s when they were hired. All those guys lasted for between a decade and a half and 2.5 decades. And now you're going with a Super Bowl winning, proven head coach, offensive mind, who's in his 60s. It's just, it doesn't mean it won't work, because Teak, you may be right. He comes there and they have a good 5-year run and all that, but it is just so geometrically opposed to what they've done.
No, you're right. And the next step is, who is the coordinators? What's the staff look like? And who the hell is the quarterback? Because it seems like Aaron Rodgers might still want to play, though the last time we heard about these two together, it sounded like it was contentious, even though reporting is indicating that it's not contentious anymore.
Time heals all wounds.
Of course it does, especially when you really want to keep playing and you're Aaron Rodgers and he's 44 years old or whatever the heck he's going to be next year. And Mike McCarthy knows that I had success with him and he didn't look washed last year. So what else am I doing? Like, who else is going to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, which is why the Steelers may be in the position that the Jets were oddly in a year ago of, okay, what gives them the best chance to win? And I remember when we had this debate a year ago with Rodgers, clearly the answer was Rodgers, but it was a rookie head coach. It was almost like, hey, we got to move on. We're not close to winning. The standards in Pittsburgh are very high, and I think they will continue to be high because you just hired a 62-year-old former Super Bowl winning head coach. Like, of course they're high. They didn't hire the new wonder kid. Like, they went out and got a guy who I would think keeps the expectations high that the Steelers at the bare minimum need to be a playoff team.
Yeah, no, it's interesting when a guy gets fired, it's almost like we're firing him because we need someone to take the next step. But in hiring Mike McCarthy, you're just hiring someone that's going to get him to the same step.
So yeah, probably.
It feels weird. Now maybe he surprises us all and actually is great in the postseason and the Steelers are a champion once again, but it's to be determined. We have to wait and see for that to happen.
Well, we got a battle going on between Mike McCarthy and John Harbaugh, who will be the first head coach to win Super Bowls with two different teams. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to waste people's time because my counter would be, hey, guys, who has a better chance to win a Super Bowl, Mike McCarthy or John Harbaugh? But I already know your answers, so we could skip it, right? Mm-hmm. We can just move on.
I mean, right, who has a quarterback and who doesn't?
I'm not even disagreeing with you.
I'm just asking a question. I'm not saying either one. I'm just saying who has a quarterback and who doesn't.
The Giants have, I would feel, more of hope of having the quarterback than the Steelers do because their quarterback
the Steelers got a Hall of Famer already.
He ain't staying there, though.
You think he's leaving?
Oh, he's going to be the Vikings quarterback next year. There's no doubt. It's either retirement or the Vikings. There is no way he is going to quarterback the Pittsburgh Steelers in that cold weather again with a coach. He basically couldn't wait to tell everybody he was on massage tables instead of being, you know, in coach meetings for.
In this case, Sean, if we're doing a long-term prediction, and I'm sure agency bingo with the NFL like we've done with the coaches and like we did with baseball, I 1,000% agree with Sean on this. Yeah. I think that, because to bring it back to the Darnold conversation, to bring it all full circle, I think there is hell to pay in Minnesota right now. I would think that there are really uncomfortable conversations about, really, you moved on from Sam for this? And I think there, especially with the way the GM spoke at the end of the season, not committing to J.J. McCarthy, like I think it is obvious that they're going to go get a veteran quarterback, and I completely agree with you. If I had to put shekels on the line, the veteran quarterback they're going to get is Aaron Rodgers. As awkward as it is that he's following the Brett Favre script.
I like that.
So,
I
agree with you.
Right. Who was the
get to your calls.
It was Carson Wentz, right?
Yes. In Minnesota?
And then he got hurt. Right. And then he got hurt, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. He played. He got hurt. Yeah. Yep. It's not going to be him. He ain't going to be the starter next year.
No, you're right. You're probably right. It's not going to be Matt
Blosmer. This is no. I think Sean nailed that one. As soon as he said it, I'm like, you're probably right, just reading the tea leaves. But we'll get more into that as we get closer to free agency. Let's get back to your calls. Dominic is calling from New Rochelle. Good afternoon, Dominic.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? A couple of points here, if you can let me get them all in. One on the NFL. There's no great dominating teams anymore. If you told me the Patriots and Seahawks before the year were going to go be in the Super Bowl, I think you're nuts. The Patriots lost to the Raiders this year at home. Anyway, on the Rams. Their defense fell apart during these playoffs. They got lucky versus Carolina, and Chris Shula played that secondary too soft in that zone coverage. They couldn't get off the field on third down. That's why they lost this game. And as far as Chris Shula goes, I think he could have hurt his chances as a head coach. They couldn't stop Seattle. And one on the Giants. I kind of figured Harbaugh would go for a former DB coach as their DC because he loves building up his secondary and focuses a lot on DBs.
Right.
Which is why I think they probably picked Caleb Downs at 5. But Harbaugh and his staff are going to revitalize the whole secondary, and he's notorious for it.
No, I think you're right about that. But just a Chris Shula thing, because I think that's what you were asking about, Evan. Like he was hot because of one, his closeness to Sean McVay, basically the same age, and they have the same kind of mannerisms and personalities as potential head coach, but Sean McVay as head coach. But I mean, he was compromised. His cornerback, Emmanuel Forbes, remember we talked about him earlier in the year, how he had resurrected his career out in with the Rams after failing in Washington, first round pick. He was skinny kid. He just hasn't been good. And the punt that ultimately turned this game against the Rams was because Emmanuel Forbes did not even try to block the gunner. And so, like, little things like that make you look bad when it's not really the coach. It becomes the player. And so I think Chris Shula is still going to be a hot candidate. I don't think he's getting a job this year, but he's someone to keep an eye on.
Anyone associated with Sean McVay remains hot candidates, there's a disappointing loss in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Greg is in Mastic Beach. What's up, Greg?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm coming to you live from what I'm dubbing the 2026 Lunch Break Tour.
Nice.
You beautiful. Enjoyed my joke so much. Last week I have a Weird Al, Billy Joel, Evan and Tiki parody that'll give me 30 seconds before my Super Bowl point.
Good.
Okay.
We got it, right?
Yeah, go.
Evan and Tiki, they work at the Fed, and yet they have plenty of pennies. And Mama Lou Gowan left a note on the door. She said, Tommy, give Sean back his Twinkies. But Evan Tartakes gives you a heart attack. You ought to know by now. And who needs a house out in Hackensack when Moresh lives right by the Nathans? And it seems such a waste of time, but the new time slot's okay. Good luck moving up, because I'm listening to Evan and Tiki in the midday.
Wow.
I like
wonderful work, Red.
That's good stuff.
Here we go, right? If
I would like to believe that the NFL is not scripted. You guys were talking about that before. But if it is rigged, I thought this would be a great story to end it, right? Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl, fueled by a chariot of ayahuasca, and him and Tomlin get to ride off into the sunset like Elway did, ending on two in a row. I love you guys. Let me hear your thoughts.
Well, I think that's one of the counters when anyone ever says, if it's scripted, this is scripted, that is scripted. Right. Wouldn't we write a better script? I mean, wouldn't we come up with something better than the Patriots against the Seahawks again?
I mean, probably.
Yes, probably. You think this is... Look, the people in Boston should be thrilled. Good for them. The people up in Seattle should be thrilled. Good for them. And everyone watches the Super Bowl. But you don't think we could have come up, if we went into a writer's room, with 5 to 10 more appealing storylines?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other NFC team. Because, I mean, the Rams were compelling. Because Matthew Stafford, after, I don't know, years of just... organizational ineptitude with the Detroit Lions, has crafted himself a Hall of Fame career. And so if he wins the MVP and then wins Super Bowl, he is a Hall of Famer. And so that's an interesting story. So it was almost there, but it kind of fell short.
How about Steelers Packers? How about Rodgers against Green Bay? How about that? That wouldn't have worked. The Micah Parsons obviously got hurt, but I assume that's part of the script, right? Isn't that is that what people claim? He's not really hurt. It's all part of the big script that they have.
Yeah, you can make a story out of any single one of these matchups. It's absurd. I have to get to some breaking news, though, real quickly, because it's going to blow my mind and really anger me, I think, for no reason. This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. Mm-hmm. This coming from Jordan Schultz. Shedeur Sanders has been added to the Pro Bowl roster as a replacement. That's it. That's the Fan Focus. Wow. Are we even trying with the Pro Bowl rosters anymore?
Are you kidding?
What are we doing?
Does nobody care? Is that the point?
Nobody cares about
the Pro Bowl anymore. Because in what world is Shedeur Sanders even close to being a Pro Bowler? I mean, this used to be something to be a Pro Bowler.
Now he can put
this on his resume. When his Pro Football reference page pops up 8 years from now, it's going to say Pro Bowler.
Yes.
And that makes no damn sense.
That's the concerning part, because for a long time, when you bring up the Pro Football Hall of Fame, one of the first things you go to is Pro Bowl and All Pro.
Yes.
Fair or not, it's one of the basic metrics that are used. How can you use it when Shedeur Sanders, you can't?
They're invalidating all of those metrics. This dude completed 57% of his passes and threw 10 interceptions to 7 touchdowns last season.
I am not up to date on the Pro Bowl rosters, so I don't know, Sean.
I want to know how many people said, like, who said no?
Well, this has to be the AFC side. Remember this. So this is why you're not getting a Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, who are both nominated for Rookie of the Year.
Dart was not a Pro Bowler, correct?
No, he was not. So
that's what's pissing you off. You're pissed off that Shedeur Sanders is a Pro Bowler and Jackson Dart is not.
So, I mean, definitely a part of it, because it'll be like, well, look, this guy made the Pro Bowl, but the AFC side, like, all right, I get it. Josh Allen's not going to go. Bo Nix broke his foot. Drake May's in the Super Bowl. But, like,
Mahomes is
Mahomes. I guess my question would be, now that Shedeur got picked, and it's going to sound like a trollback, like, was the next option Brady Cook after this? Like, who was left that
Justin
you could
Fields.
Even. Like, yeah, you could even make,
interception.
Think about it. If you could go down the list in the AFC, who is left that Shedeur was picked here?
Yeah. The funny thing is,
I mean, how many people had to say no? So let's just go through the list. So Drake May is unavailable. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Josh Allen said no, or maybe he's going there and they need a backup or whatever. So Josh Allen.
Okay.
There was nobody in Miami. Nobody in New York. Aaron Rodgers must have said no. Lamar Jackson must have said no.
Joe Burrow.
Trevor Lawrence said no. Joe Burrow said no.
Even CJ Stroud, I know he had a terrible postseason.
Daniel Jones can't do it.
Dude, Cam Ward wasn't better. Cam Ward wasn't better. He was in the AFC.
Yes. Of course he was.
What are we doing here?
Wow. That's bad. That's a bad
look. Did Josina Anderson take over all the voting? I don't understand what happened here.
Wow. So we live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, where Shedeur Sanders is a Pro Bowler and Jackson Dart is not.
It's not even about Jackson Dart. It's just the whatever, the Tiki, grossness of that accolade anymore.
It's not about Jackson Dart for you. It's about Jackson Dart for Sean over there.
It isn't. Like, I get what you're saying, because I just know, like, I'm separate. This is the AFC thing. It's just more along the lines of, like, they make it so hard to accept some stuff. Like, I don't even dislike Shador Sanders. He's not a Pro Bowler. What are we doing?
That's funny. That made me laugh. That's the first time I've laughed.
It's a joke.
That and you calling Boomer Mamdani are my two favorite parts of the day today.
I'm going to once again say, I was saying thank you, Mamdani, because his rules allowed me to work from home today. That's why I said thank you, Mamdani.
Okay.
Thank you, Mamdani. He let the kids work from home. I'm doing home.
Let's go to Victor in Sacramento. What's up, Victor?
Hey, real quick, very happy for Mel Kiper with Shador going to the Pro Bowl. But just real quick, Evan, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but the refs, right? Just two quick points.
Yeah.
The Bo Nix, fourth and short, the Stidham pass that was ruled a fumble, and then the Cooper Kupp close first down. Guys, we have 5 to 10 minute review breaks during the regular season where, you know, so far less calls are made. How about the refs take their time and actually review it, okay? And then, Tiki, a quick question for you, right? So I loved how you always scored a touchdown. You acted like you were there before, the Victor Cruz salsa, all of that, right? And I'm not saying the refs didn't make the right call, but guys, these are grown men. How is trash talking a 15-yard unsportsmanlike like penalty?
Yeah.
But after every interception, it's like they're putting on the talent show. Thanks, guys.
That's a good point. It's especially because if you intercept the ball on the 10, like the long way away, these guys run 80 yards right to go pose in the end zone.
Yeah.
And it's usually to the camera. I think the reason that Reek Woolen got a penalty, a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty, was because he was taunting directly to the sideline.
Yes.
Right. The whole look at me, I'm going to run the length of the field and go celebrate with my teammates. That's, you're not really taunting anybody. You're actually playing to a crowd. Whereas if you're screaming and who knows what else you're saying to a sideline, that's exactly the rule.
My biggest issue, and what I said earlier about the officials, was that I appreciated that they were not throwing a lot of flags. And Tom Brady had that great line that we played earlier where he said, I don't want to throw it unless there's blood. And it made me laugh, even though Tom's a hypocrite, because when he was playing, you look at him the wrong way, he wanted a flag thrown. But I guess that's the competitor in him. The only play that really bothered me and really jumped out at me as, hey, I got an issue with it, was the first down that was upheld. On the 4th and 1 from the 8-yard line, they did a quarterback keeper with Drake May. And for the life of me, he looked short.
Yeah.
And the over-the-head view made it look like he was short. And Sean Payton threw a challenge flag. He challenged it. And they went to commercial break, so which I hate, by the way. I mean, just keep it right there so we can see all the angles 15 times and then get the announcement live, as opposed to, oh, by the way, while you were gone, the play was upheld. Drives me nuts, and they all do it. But I saw evidence that he was short. All you got to do is look at the over-the-head camera view. He looked short, and that was such a huge play because 3 plays later, Borregales hits the 23-yard field goal, which turns out to be the difference in the game. Patriots win 10-7. That call changes the entire game, and I do think that was the one call that jumps out at me as really, really bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, but it also was early enough before it was a crap show with the snow that it felt like it was going to make that big of a difference. It was just an early play in the second half, and then
it was. But it was the difference in the game,
right? But it ultimately became the play that you look at in the second half because of how the weather turned quote so quickly.
But he was also short. I mean, let's just be honest. Like,
The problem with the overhead though is that sometimes the angle is wrong. It's not directly overhead because that camera isn't always pulling on the whatever that wire is. It's not always pulling, looking directly down. It looks like it's looking directly down, but it could be at a slight angle. So it's hard. And that's why they need the chip in the football. And I know it's there. I don't think they use it though. That's what pisses me off about some of these decisions is that you have the technology existing and you're not using it. You're still using visual evidence in order to make a determination.